standing in the David Austin garden at RHS Chelsea, and Michael's here. Michael, so good to see you.
Lovely to see you too.
It looks absolutely gorgeous as usual.
Thank you very much. Yes, we've gone for a completely new design this year, and the back end all closed off. And the great thing about that is it really, if you stand at the front, it creates a sort of a unit in itself. You don't see the other stands, so you think, oh, you know, like in your own garden. It's fantastic.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, looking through here, and especially with that beautiful garden behind, it does look like I'm in the David Austin garden, actually. And I think what's really lovely, I've got all this set here, David Austin
the
cups
porcelain,
and saucers.
Yes, and teapots and things like that. Beautiful, isn't it? And a lovely looking scone, which I think will be colloped up later on.
You're saving that for later, are you? Now, I've got probably, I've lost count, I've probably got 50 to 60 David Austin roses in the garden now. Yes, I'm a bit of an addict. A couple of different questions I was going to ask you. Which roses do you think are best for me to use, for example, if I was going to put them on a cake or design cake? Are there some that are particularly fragrant? What would you advise?
Well, there's things like Munstead Wood, which is a really deep purpley red, and that's got the most fantastic fragrance. If you wanted to go sort of down the orangey line, then something like Lady Emma Hamilton is absolutely superb. That's got this lovely fruity fragrance. So that would, I think, be very good on a cake. And maybe sort of soft pink Harlow Carr, lovely, delicate little petals, more of the old rose fragrance. A bit like eating rose water, really. It'd be lovely.
And if you're going to put them on a cake, that most roses are actually, petals are completely edible, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, the main thing is don't spray them. You know, apart from that, yes, go ahead and eat all you can. They're wonderful things. And of course, that's why roses were grown initially in the garden, was for their medicinal purposes, and then later on maybe for culinary purposes as well. So yes, they're wonderful plants to sprinkle in any sort of food. They look so beautiful, and on cakes they're fantastic.
So if we were going to put some, you've got some varieties that you grow in these beautiful big pots like this, and what I want to do is put some pots up the driveway leading people into the school. What varieties will grow best in these? This one, I'm stuttering, it's so beautiful. Which one is this?
This is Boscobel. We introduced this last year, and a lovely sort of rich orangey pink colour, and quite good. It's relatively upright without being too much so. Yes, you wouldn't want the very upright varieties, something a bit bushy. But you can have some really more arching ones. So Harlow Carr I mentioned just now, and Anne Boleyn is another fantastic one. And they look absolutely superb in pots. The great thing about growing pots is be sure to water them really well, because they dry out very quickly. So if you can supply them with an automatic irrigation system or something like that and feed them well, and they'll be so happy and they'll be absolutely fantastic.
I am the automatic irrigation system. I'll be out there with a watering can.
Well,
we are putting one in.
Yes. Well, you do need. They drink a huge amount of water, actually. So yes, that's the secret.
So this pot here, how large is this pot, and how many roses are in this one, please, Michael?
It's about 18 inches across, and there'd be just the one rose in there. It'll be absolutely fine. And yes, if you want to sort of something's not too much trouble, then I wouldn't go any smaller than that. And basically, the bigger the better, because then there's more area for the roots to go through, and means less watering as well. But don't, hold watering can onto that every day or so, when it finally warms up.
So in terms of feed, what would you feed it? Every day or every...?
No, the best thing is to use slow-release fertiliser. Something like Osmocote or something like that, and you put it on at the start of the season, sort of about April or something like that, lasts the whole season long, so you don't have to worry about it then. You've done it, that's one job ticked off, and you don't have to worry about it again. The brilliant stuff, slow-release fertiliser.
And how old is this rose that's in here? Because this is so beautifully established.
That would be just a couple of years old. I mean, I guess it would probably be planted spring of last year, and they grow very quickly. I mean, people think the roses are slow, but not at all. They very quickly establish themselves.
And can you tell me, how many years would you leave a rose in a pot?
As long as it looks good, then it'll be fine. So, I mean, in the ground, it would be sort of maybe 15 years or something like that. In a pot, it depends how well you look after it. If you look after it really well, then you should be able to get the same length of time out of it. But if you're not quite so good, or then it may be after 5 or 10 years, it'll start looking a bit poor. But You know, they're not that expensive roses in terms of value of money. I mean, what other plant can potentially have a fantastic individual flower, lovely fragrance, be easy to look after, and flower for, you know, 5 or 6 months of the year? Nothing else can touch it. So they're wonderful, wonderful plants. I don't know why people don't plant them everywhere.
I do. Every space available. No, it's fantastic. I don't have any other roses in the garden other than David Austin roses, and one of the reasons for that is because I just find them so reliable, Michael. I really, they are just the most reliable plants there are.
Yeah, oh, they are. They're wonderful, wonderful plants. Really good, yeah.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.